Okay, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Verses 12 to 16. You know what? I wanted to pray for all the world leaders who are here, and especially President Zelensky, who is scheduled to give a speech this evening. So it's ironic. Hiroshima is both the most dangerous and the safest place in the world right now. All of the leaders that are here have brought with them all of the security and police of the whole country. There's policemen from Hokkaido to Kyushu that are here, and police are literally lining the streets. We have helicopters flying above since Friday, and yeah, the Bible says to pray for your leaders and to pray for the government. Even in the first century, where Nero was the emperor of all people, the Bible commands us, we need to pray for them. So whether we are supportive or against those who are in office now, we need to pray for them. So please join me in some prayer. Father God, for all the policemen that are here, Lord, please be with them and help them to do their job well. Help them to find any danger, and please keep our leaders safe during their stay here. Please help Prime Minister Abe as he hosts the leaders, but all the more, whatever they're doing now, whatever they're talking about, however they're discussing things about the economies, human rights, war, conflict, whatever those things are, please lead and guide. Please open the way. Please speak the truth. Please give them listening ears and help them to make the best and wisest decision for France and Italy and England and Europe and Germany and Japan and Canada and the United States. Help us, Lord God, to be welcoming them, and help them, Lord God, to be faithful to the call that you have for their life, whether they trust you, acknowledge you, or believe in you. Lord God, you are the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords, and their hearts are in your hands. That's what we believe in. So this is our prayer, Lord God. And we pray for President Zelensky as he's coming. Maybe he's already arrived, and maybe we know that he'll be speaking to that group of seven tonight or this evening. And we pray, God, that as the world watches and listens, please keep us safe and protect us from all harm. But Lord, we pray for the end of the conflict. We pray for a ceasefire. We pray that you would end the war. We pray that you would stop the dying and the destruction, Lord God. And please bring peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be the children of God. So Lord God, we pray for peacemakers. We pray that you will end conflict and war, particularly in Sudan and also in the Ukraine. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. It's going to be a little bit weird because usually you start at verse 13, but I believe that verse 12 is very important to understanding verses 13 to 16. So I'm going to read verse 12 and 13. Please join me at verse 14. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Let's read together. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the very words of Jesus. Is this translation... Oh, okay. Perhaps I'm giving you the ESV. And maybe in your bulletin is the NIV. So forgive me for the discrepancy. So we're studying the Sermon on the Mount. We spent 3 weeks on the first 12 verses, known as the Beatitudes. Basically, we want to see the basic, most fundamental heart and core teachings of Jesus Christ. If anybody should wonder, what is Christianity? What do Christians believe? What does Jesus teach his people? It is the Sermon on the Mount. It is the foundation. It is the baseline. It is the bottom line. And so that's what we'll be spending our time in for the next season. We finished with his prologue, his introduction, the Beatitudes, that outline the values, the core values of the Christian faith. What do we cherish as Christians? We cherish the poor, the mourning, the merciful, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We cherish and we value peace and mercy. And we understand the necessity of persecution. We understand that persecution is not something we should be afraid of nor surprised at. It is natural to being a Christian. What? Even in Japan? Well, not as severe as in other parts of the world. And we talked about that in our last sermon on persecution. But please understand this next section, talking about salt and light. A very famous passage. People are familiar with it. And it's very simple and easy to understand. But please note what comes directly before Jesus telling us that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He says, you are prophets. You are prophets. You speak the word of God to the people of God. You speak God's words from heaven to earth. And so you have two messages. Prophets are preachers of both doom and hope. We preach doom through our life and our words. And it's doom, I love that word, doom. Doom is the judgment and the death that comes from living outside the boundaries and law and order of God. We preach life. Life is the order, beauty, truth, and goodness that comes down from heaven through God, through Jesus Christ. And so our words and our life are messages of both doom and life. So, St. Paul says, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. It's doom and life. Just by our own lifestyle, without saying a single thing, just by people knowing we're Christians, it's one or the other for them. Our life smells like death. And what do you do when you smell something you don't like? You get away from it. You cover it. You open the windows. You try to blow it out. Whatever you can to get that rancid, terrible, awful smell out of the room. And if we are an awful smell, a stench of death, we will be persecuted. Yeah. Okay. Let me give a very clear example. On your screen, this is a screenshot of my iPad. And if you just go to YouTube and search Calvin Robinson, Oxford Union, you'll get this video. So Calvin Robinson is an Anglican priest who was recently ordained. However, he was blocked from being ordained in the Anglican Church of England because of his views on sexuality, gay marriage, and transgenderism. So he was very outspoken. And so the Church of England wanted to stop his ordination. And in this video, it blew up, became very famous around the world, especially amongst Christians, not necessarily Anglicans, but everybody. Basically, there was a debate at Oxford University. It's a debate society called Oxford Union. It's 4 versus 4. And on the one side, the Oxford Union proposes that gay marriage and transgender rights should be recognized by the Oxford Union. And on the opposing side is transgender rights and gay marriage should not be recognized. And so Calvin Robinson is a traditionalist, and he was an advocate on the opposing side. And he gave an excellent and passionate and controversial argument against gay marriage, for traditional marriage, according to the order, the boundaries, and the principles that Jesus taught, that his disciples teach, that the church recognizes. It's very simple. It's basic teaching on marriage between a man and a woman. One man, one woman. And anything outside of that is adultery. Now, I wasn't expecting anybody to be here and present, so I wasn't expecting such awkward and kind of a tense air. I was hoping it was just me and the camera. But hey, here we are. Right. I need to say this. We accept gays, lesbians, transgender, queer, homosexuals. We accept, we're open, and we're loving. However, we are not affirming. There's a difference between accepting and affirming. And people will say, oh, come on! The church needs to be on the right side of history. I mean, Jesus accepted sinners. He was often with prostitutes and sinners and corrupt officials. Why can't the church welcome them? Oh, yeah, we do. But please understand, Jesus was often with prostitutes, sinners, and corrupt people. It was them that walked away changed, not Jesus. Jesus loved, Jesus healed, Jesus fed. But he was so on the side of truth. He was righteous. He never changed. And it was his demand that his disciples changed. He says, you want to follow me? You die to yourself. You pick up your cross and you follow me. We love the sinner. We die for the sin. Jesus died for the sin. Jesus died for the homosexual. Jesus died for the transgender. Jesus taught marriage is between a man and a woman, bound by God. That's all he was saying. That's Calvin Robinson. And so the Church of England right now, officially, the Anglican Church of England, is affirming. Not only accepting, but affirming. And so they're going to recognize gay marriage. And so they blocked Calvin Robinson's ordination. So now the Anglican Church is split, literally, worldwide. And so now there's what's known as the Global Anglican Fellowship, the GAFCOM, Global Anglican Fellowship, something, something or other. I can't remember. But anyways, he's now ordained under that communion. So it was interesting reading the comments on this video. The comments were amazing because not only Christians were commenting, actually some of the top comments were non-Christians, non-believers. And they were saying, finally, Christians, someone bold enough to speak the truth. Someone brave enough in the church to stand up for what the church has traditionally taught. These were non-Christians acknowledging something that the church needs to teach. It's not that the church has changed its teaching. The problem is the church has stopped teaching just the basic points of Christian marriage. Okay. Are we good? So Calvin Robinson finished that debate. He lost the debate technically. The whole House, the whole Oxford Union voted him down. And he went away so depressed and so dejected from that debate. However, when the debate was uploaded onto YouTube, millions of people were accepting and saying, thank you so much for speaking the truth in the midst of so much false deception. And he's getting persecuted. He's getting blocked, he's getting canceled. At the same time, he's getting a lot of support from many things. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That's the same way they treated the prophets before you. So, that's us. We are the salt. Salt is there to preserve freshness and to provide flavor. It's a simple analogy, simple metaphor. Jesus, brilliant preacher, the best ever. We all know what salt is for. No need to get too deep. But marriage, the goodness of marriage, the truth and the beauty, the freshness of true marriage is what we're here to preserve. That's the salt. And when you try to open it up and try to let everything say love is love, no. Love is God. God is love. God decides what love is. That's preserving the freshness. Now, please notice the nature of salt. Because when Jesus says, you can lose your saltiness. How do you lose your saltiness? I'll tell you very, very straight. Salt is not salt if it's just with itself. If you keep salt inside the salt container, it's of no use. Salt needs to be applied to things that are not salt. That's how it's salty, right? Coming to church is important. Being with Christians, it's very important. Being with fellowship and in communion, regularly, weekly, as often as possible, praying, singing, studying, meditating, being with you, conversating, fellowshipping, eating together. That's important, but that's not being salt. That's being church. That's just being Christians here. Salt needs to be applied to where there is no salt. So it says there, preserve freshness and provide flavor through direct contact. That means we have to be engaged with non-Christians. And for us, that's easy here. It can be very easy. Jesus is talking about influence. Jesus is talking about impact, the influence of salt. But it's so easy to lose it. It's so easy just to go home. The only people I'm influencing, really, is my wife, my children, and maybe some of my students. I have over 200 students. I'm not going to influence all of them. I influence maybe a few of them. But I influence nothing. I have no flavor. I have no impact when I go home and just turn on YouTube and stare at my phone and not engage with my kids. I have no saltiness and I have no flavor when I'm not conversating and engaging and interacting with my coworkers and with my students and with my players. If it's just business as usual, if it's just school talk and homework and basketball, there's no impact. There's no salt. Jesus says, Chris, conversate, communicate, live together, walk together, play with your children, hug them, wrestle, eat together, spend quality time. That's salt, because salt works through direct contact. I need to repent of my disengagement and my distance. Jesus wants me in contact with people. The less I do that, the more I lose my saltiness. Now, we're almost finished. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. And I think we understand what the light of the world means. City on the hill cannot be hidden. We have to shine our light. And so I wanted to avoid talking about go out and shine your light. Because I'm already guilting myself enough telling me, go out and be salt. You know what the best way to shine your light is? It's very simple. It's kind of like my son has a shirt. It's his grandmother gave it. My mother gave him this great shirt. It's for Halloween. It's a T-shirt. It's a black long sleeve shirt, and the pattern on the shirt is a skeleton. It's all bones, like rib bones, spine. You know, the arms, the hands, right? And the cool thing about the shirt is it's all black, but the bones are white. But when you turn the light off, it glows, right? It's a Halloween shirt. And so, you know, my sons, when they're playing with it, you know, they'll stand in front of the light, and then they'll turn the light off, and you can see the skeleton pattern, right? So they're shining their light. So what's the best way for a Christian to shine our light? It's very simple. We expose ourselves to the true light. Jesus is the light of life, right? And then the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus is the word of God. And he lights our feet. He's a lamp to our feet. He is the light, the street light that lights our way. And so if you want to shine your light, you have to look and expose yourself to the light. So that's what I want to do in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Just look at Jesus. Adore Jesus. Worship Jesus. Here I am to worship. Who is Jesus? Has he given you any light? Has he stepped into your darkness? Has he helped you to understand? What is light? It's understanding. It's comprehension. It's, I get it. Has Jesus spoken to you? Has Jesus revealed anything to you to the point where you say, I get it. I understand. Were you in the dark and he stepped in and he said, this is the way. Walk in it. These are the words to speak. This is when you don't speak. Has he given you that? Has he led you? Has he counseled you? Has he given you something to light your path? If so, praise and adore him. Worship him. Expose yourself. Jesus, I give myself to you. And Jesus, take my darkness. Take my sin. Take my negative emotions, my negative thoughts. Take my anger. Take my unforgiveness. Take my bitterness. Take my my revenge. Take all of it. Take my darkness and give me your light. And so Matthew, at the end of the book, Matthew 27, when Jesus is on the cross, it says that from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. 3 hours. What is Matthew teaching us? Jesus dying on the cross, taking our darkness, taking our death, receiving the destruction and the doom that we deserve. Jesus took our doom. Why? So that now we can walk in the light. So we look at Jesus on the cross. It was the darkest hour, literally, in all of human history. Death thought, oh, I've defeated you. The devil said, I win. And Jesus says, no, you have no idea. You have no idea. Death, you're only accomplishing the salvation of the world. And Jesus gave himself to the darkness for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So that's what we need to do. The few of us here, online, here of us here, focus on Jesus, the light of the world. Focus on his beauty, his love, his grace. Adore him. And let your light shine. So, Father, we bow our heads in humility and gratitude, in worship. And we offer ourselves to you. Forgive us for running away from people, from engagement. Forgive us for not being salt when we ought to be salt. Forgive us for our laziness. And Lord, help us, Lord, to shine and to have an impact. Help us to engage. Help us to make conversation, to be gracious, to give flavor to our conversation. Lord Jesus, we ask you, shine your light and let our light shine to whoever you send us to. Let heaven come to earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yeah, let's all rise and sing our closing song. It is our only song for today. Yeah. And we'll sing from verse 2. Verse 2. Yeah, okay. King of all days.
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth, you created, all for love's sake became poor.
Here I am.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Father, we thank you for gathering us today, both in person and online. We ask that, Lord, you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that as we're filled, we would have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And for these good things, we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a great week. Hopefully everybody will be back next Sunday. Amen.